Welcome to Westgate Messages Plus, where we share our Sunday messages and bonus content. We hope you enjoy this deeper dive into God's Word and how it transforms our everyday lives. Thanks so much for tuning in.
All right, so as Kevin mentioned, we are in the second week of our series, Flourish, Five Ingredients to a Healthy Church Community. And we are going through this series because we want the people that call this, those of you that call this church, your church home, to actually experience a healthy community. But then also, you know, the people that maybe aren't plugged in somewhere but are looking for a place to belong and be a part of, we want to be the kind of community that when they step into and they are present with this group of people, they are healthy and flourishing together. So last week, Luke talked about group identity and how it's so important for us to see ourselves and see each other as equally indispensable and valuable in the body of Christ. And as Kevin mentioned, today I'm going to be talking about joy. But I'm going to pray first and then we can jump in. Father, I just thank you. Thank you for this morning and just the reminder through worship even of your love and your goodness for us, God. I just pray today as we talk about joy that you would fill us with joy and God, that you would speak through me and that people would just hear what you want them to hear, that we would be impacted by who you are and how you see us, Lord. So we just thank you for this morning to come together and we lift up this time to you. In your precious and holy name we pray, amen. So we're going to be talking about joy today, and this is a really important ingredient in these five ingredients because it's a really crucial component if we want to be the kind of church community that is healthy and is flourishing. As Luke mentioned last week, the staff here and the leadership board read this book, The Other Half of Church, this year, and it's really where this series kind of stemmed from. And if you're looking for a new book recommendation, I would highly recommend it. It does a great job. It was fascinating to me. It was challenging, encouraging, and just how it talked about the relationship between neuroscience, how the brain works, and our faith, how we relate to God and each other. And its main focus is really on these relational soil that we need as a church body. Because I think often the church has focused on intellectual soil, right? The things that we believe, truth, which is still very important. But sometimes we neglect to focus and train people on relational soil. So throughout the book, he just talks about what does it look like as followers of Jesus to relate to God and each other in a more holistic way. So, why is joy important in this conversation about health, about healthy church community? I think most of us would say that character formation, if not the most important thing when it comes to our walk with the Lord in church community, is probably a really important piece of what we should be about in the church. And the thing is, character formation and joy are inextricably linked. If we want to flourish as a church community, if we want to grow in our character and in our maturity, then we have to grow in our joy. Quote from the book says this, "From the moment we are born, joy shapes the chemistry, structure, and growth of our brain. Joy lays the foundation for how well we will handle relationships, emotions, pain, and pleasure throughout our lifetime." So, joy is something that God designed our brains and our bodies. He's ingrained it in us since childhood. And as Luke mentioned last week, this isn't a relevant topic because you can pull up any news source or social media site and see, and it won't take you long to see stories, sadly, and articles and examples of churches and church leaders that are toxic, that are unhealthy. And I think when we don't build our joy in our personal lives and in our communities, that is when that toxicity and that unhealth and that narcissism will thrive.
And also when we are running low on joy, we fail to represent God well. I mean, I think about the Pharisees, right? If our faith is a low joy faith, it becomes lifeless, it becomes dull, it can easily become legalistic and maybe even dysfunctional. So we have to grow in our joy. But what is joy? What does this joy that we are talking about today really mean? Well, I want to propose to you today an idea rooted in scripture, but maybe that you haven't thought of in this way before, and that is this. The joy we see in scripture comes from God's face shining on us. The joy we see in scripture comes from God's face shining on us. And I could go through a variety of passages that talks about this throughout scripture, but I have a few that I want to focus on today, and there's quite a few actually in the Psalms, and the first one I want us to look at is Psalm 16:11. It says this, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Now, in this passage, that word presence, that's translated in the NIV here, in the Hebrew language, that word is this word panim, and it's literally translated as face. So a more literal translation of this verse might be, "I am filled with joy when your face, God, is on me." And sometimes this idea in different passages will be translated as a word like presence or in front of or before the Lord, which are also true, but I think they don't quite capture the meaning, the deeper meaning there, because when God's face is on us, no, not only are we in his presence, but his face on us shows us his love, his favor, his reassurance and delight in us. There's another verse in Psalm that's similar, Psalm 21:6. It says, "Surely you have granted him unending blessings and made him glad with the joy of your presence." You can probably guess it. The word presence there is literally translated as face. You make him glad with the joy of your face. In the New Testament, we see this idea as well. There's a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, and this is what it says. "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." It is through the face of Jesus that our hearts are filled with joy in experiencing God's glory. I mean, I think about how the people in Jesus' day would have felt this, specifically the people who are broken or marginalized or sick, and probably really shamed by their sin and even by the religious people in that day. Can you imagine the joy they felt in seeing the face of Jesus? As they saw, maybe this is partially because I watched The Chosen and so I kind of have that image in my head, but just the twinkle in his eye as he looks at them and gives them hope and healing. It would have been incredible. And there's a lot of other passages I could share with you, but one other one that I want to focus on today, and actually Luke gave you a little teaser last week as he shared it as the blessing at the end of the message, but it's in Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 26, and a little bit of context. So this is a blessing that God is giving to Moses, and it's called the priestly blessing, because at that time, God's blessings were mediated and given through the priests. And so this was a blessing given to the Israelites at that time, God's people. But we know now through the new covenant and through our relationship with Jesus, if we have decided to follow and trust him, that we are now a part of that group identity of being God's people. So this was specific to the Israelites in the time of Moses, but it's also a blessing that we can live in today. This is what it says. "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them.'" Now here we see this word face actually translated as face, but I love this verse because this is basically describing the neurological definition of joy. As we go through our day, our right brains are scanning our surroundings, looking for people who are happy to be with us. So when someone's face lights up when they see us, it actually initiates a joyful chain reaction in our brain that then translates to a feeling in our body. God designed our brains to seek joy through eyes and facial expressions, through being with people who are happy and glad to be with us. So in this passage, when we see, when we hear, when we experience this blessing of God's face shining on us, that is the fullness of joy. And in this verse, that joy looks like God's favor, his protecting and keeping watch over us, his grace, his peace or wholeness he gives us, and an identity in him as he puts his name on us. So another way maybe to say this would be, may you feel the joy of God's face shining on you because he is happy to be with you. It's like the smile of a parent looking at their child or vice versa, or someone looking lovingly at their spouse, or someone seeing their friend that has been away from them for a long time. It's looking at someone that you take pleasure and delight in, and you have so much love for them that your face, your eyes, your smile, your face lights up when you look at them. Now, hopefully most of you have experienced this at some point in your life, but in case you need a little bit of a reminder of what this might look like, I want you to check this video out. This is a little boy who was reunited with his class after he moved away. Ugh, doesn't that just fill your soul? I love that video. I want to ask, have you experienced that kind of joy? Do you believe God loves you in such a way that his face lights up like that when he sees you? I think a couple of things for us to remember as we think about this kind of joy, this joy of God's face shining on us, is first, it's something that we feel. Now, bodily sensations in our Christian practice today can seem a little weird because we don't talk about them a lot. Words most likely get translated into something, you know, more cerebral or conceptual, more of what we think in our head. But the thing is, God created us with a mind, a soul, and a body. So why would we not think that he doesn't care to speak to us and impact our lives, even in the things that we experience and feel? In fact, feeling joy in our body indicates that our right brain is functioning smoothly. God designed us to feel his presence. But I know for most of us, hearing that phrase of like feeling God in your body not only sounds strange, but maybe a little bit creepy, right? And I totally get it. I do. But the truth is, our whole bodies respond when we encounter the living God. I think of the story in the beginning of Luke chapter 1, when Mary, who after she finds out she's pregnant with Jesus, she goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth, who is also pregnant with John, who's going to be John the Baptist. And it says in scripture that when Mary gets to her and greets her, that the baby in Elizabeth's stomach leaps for joy and she's filled with the Holy Spirit. It's something that she felt in her body. All right, we're going to do a little bit of a practice here. And now some of you, this is going to be a little uncomfortable, but I'm going to let you know you're going to be okay. But everyone, I want you to just close your eyes. Close your eyes for a sec. And I want you to think about how you feel when I say these two things. First, God loves you. Second, God's face lights up when he looks at you. Okay, you can open your eyes. Hopefully most of you could actually feel a difference in just hearing that. And now both those things are true, right? But I think there's a deeper meaning to knowing that God's face, when he looks at you, is filled with love and delight. And it's something that you won't even just think of in your head, but you actually feel somewhere deep in your core. I remember a moment I had in college when I just experienced God's love in a different way than I had before. Worship music has always been a huge part of the way that I connect with the Lord, and I think it was my freshman year, and I was in my dorm one night, and I was just struggling with some loneliness, and I was spending time with the Lord and scripture and listening to worship music, and this song came on, and it's not like I haven't heard these types of words before in worship songs, but this song came on, and it was talking about the love of God and how deep and big and sweet it is. And it's hard for me to describe, but in that moment, I had this experience where I, like, physically felt the love of God in my dorm room. It was almost like God was giving me a hug, and I just felt this huge peace in my spirit, and it just brought me to joyful tears as I felt God's love and delight in me in a way I've never experienced before. I felt him present with me. Now, maybe you've had a moment like this in your life, you know, where you felt the love and delight of the Lord. Maybe it was like a peace or a calm that came over you, or maybe it was even during like a worship song and you got goosebumps, or, you know, you felt just like a lightness to your spirit. It also could happen maybe through someone else who you feel joy through the way that they love you. I know a lot of us have experienced a Taylor hug, right? And the joy that you experience through someone who you know just is happy to see you and be with you. So this might look different for any one of us, but I think God wants to show up to us even in the ways that we physically experience him in knowing his love and delight in us as his face shines on us. But I don't want you to hear what I'm not saying, okay? Feelings aren't everything when it comes to our faith, right? We can't rely on them on their own. But I believe that they're probably a more important part of our faith and experience with God than sometimes we talk about. So this joy we experience through God's face shining on us is something we feel. It's also relational. We can't experience God's face on us fully until we turn our face towards God. Now, it doesn't mean that his face and his delight and love in us ever leaves us, or that his face is not always shining on us. It is. But sometimes I think we're not aware of that, right? I think this joy only happens when we fix our eyes on God's. In Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2, it says, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." You see, when we fix our eyes on God's eyes and face shining on us, it does two things. First, it reminds us of who God is. When we're looking at him, we're reminded of who he is. And second, it reminds us of how he sees us, our identity in him. Think of it like this. Maybe some of you have experienced this where someone like literally took your face, right, and like turned it towards you so that you were looking directly at them. And I kind of imagine Jesus doing this, and not in a like, he's upset and you better look at me and pay attention kind of way, but more in a like, hey, you're looking at the wrong things. You're seeking other people's approval. Your joy is depleted because you're losing sight of who I am and how I see you. Let me turn your gaze back at me. Look me in the face and see the delight and love in my eyes as you're filled with joy that only I can give you. This joy is relational between us and the Lord vertically, but it's also relational between us and other people horizontally. Joy in the context of community is so important, and here's why. First, joy creates space for belonging. If your face lights up when I enter the room and I can just sense that you're happy that I am there, I'll feel like I belong. Me and Alex, my husband, visited a church this past year, and it will remain nameless, but we visited this church, and I'm going to tell you, the worship was great, the sermon was great, the visuals and the graphics were awesome. But I'm going to be honest, when we walked into this church, no one really looked at us or smiled at us. And so even though all those other pieces were awesome, it felt really hard to feel like we belonged or people really wanted us there. So I want you to ask yourself, when have you felt other people's faces light up? Where were you? What environment were you in? And maybe a more challenging question is, do you often feel faces light up when you come to our church? I don't know what your experience has been here or at other churches in the past, but what if we did this well? What if we smiled with joy to those who are regular attenders, to those who are new, who we've never seen before? Some of you might be even looking for a way to get more plugged in. I'm going to tell you, this fall especially, we are looking for more greeters. And if you have a smile to share, that is something that you could step in and do. You could be the lit up face shining on someone who's had a hard week that enters this church building. And even if you aren't officially on the greeter team, we are all greeters. We are all hosters. We can take ownership of making people feel welcome and seen before, after, during their time here on Sundays and other community and fun events that we do. Joy creates space for belonging. Joy also creates space for stability. Joy helps us regulate our emotions and endure suffering. That second part of Hebrews 12:2 says, "For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross." We can fix our eyes on Jesus as we go through trials because we know that he also experienced pain. But also it gives us perseverance and gives us joy and strength to endure the painful things in our life. And when we stay relationally connected to God and to each other, we know that we can experience joy even when we suffer. It's like we know God and our community are glad to be with us, even in our distress. And here's the thing, this kind of joy, you've probably heard the difference between joy and happiness. This kind of joy does not mean that, you know, you put a fake face on and everything's good, but we can actually hold joy and pain, joy and fear, joy and worry, joy and frustration. We can actually hold those things at the same time. So joy creates stability. Joy also creates vulnerability. Joy gives us the freedom to be real. When we know that we are fully seen and fully loved by God, that is a point that we can rest secure in without fear. And it's true with those around us. When joy is the foundation, we don't have to pretend. We can be our true selves when we know that people see us and love us just as we are. I love the story shared earlier about the small group. I know in my life, sometimes it's been kind of hard, and I think part of it is with being on staff at a church. Sometimes it's hard to find a group of people where I'm like, okay, can I actually like speak unfiltered here and like be real with what's going on? But me and Alex are in a small group that we've been in for 2 years now. And at least for my adult life, this is like the first community that I have felt these three things. I have felt like I belong, that people want me there. I felt stability. It's a community where when hard things happen, we can be honest about it and hold those things together. And it's a community where I know I can completely be myself and be vulnerable with because they love me, they see me. So that's what happens when we have joy. It creates space for those things. But what about the opposite end? What happens when we are in a low joy spot in our lives personally and in community? Well, the dangers of low joy is that we are more vulnerable to pseudo joys or fake joys. These are basically substances or experiences that trick our brain to temporarily shut off unpleasant emotions, but ultimately they are non-relational and they are unsatisfying. Now, this could be different for any one of us. There's a huge spectrum of what this might look like for you. It could be anything from food to shopping to social media, all the way to addictions, to drugs or alcohol or pornography. It's basically anything, right, that's temporarily satisfying but ultimately unfulfilling. I know in my life, if I'm doing something A that's either just wrong, or, you know, something that just, like, isn't great for me, or watching that isn't great, or I'm spending a lot of time on something I don't normally spend time on, that's a reality check for me to ask myself, am I seeking joys in areas that are ultimately not going to fill me up? So, you know, if I'm on social media a lot, or if I want to buy all the new things, and it's a reoccurring theme in my heart and in my head, or, you know, I ate half the pan of brownies. Those are the times where it might be time for me to realign, right, my heart, my spirit, and my face on Jesus, knowing that only true joy comes from him. So be aware of what that might be for you. What are some of the pseudo joys you have had pursued in the past, or you're currently most susceptible to right now? So, we see both sides. How do we actually build joy? How do we build our joy? As I was preparing this message, and this whole series is about community, and that's an important part of this, but I just couldn't get past the fact that we can't move towards a healthy community with each other until we personally experience this joy that can only be found in the loving gaze of Jesus in our life. Unless you've experienced the joy of God's face shining on you, your joy tank is not going to be full enough to shine your face on others. So, what are some personal practices we can do? First, for some of you today, you might need to hear for the first time and take to heart for the first time that God's face, when he looks at you, is one of love and delight. He is not looking at you with condemnation or anger or disappointment. He delights in you. Jesus loves you so much that he died on a cross for you and rose again so that you could have new life through him, so that you could have a relationship with him, one where you are forgiven and set free from sin and shame and guilt completely. And you can just accept that sacrifice, that it was because of his love, as it said in Hebrews, because of the joy set before him of being with you, of being in relationship with you, that he endured that pain. And so today, maybe for the first time, you can just rest and be secure in that loving, shining smile of God on you. Second, those of you that are maybe have been following Jesus for a while, this is just an idea of a practice to continue to fill up your joy tank in your life, and that is remember God's face shining on you moments. Now, a couple of practical things to do this is, first, think of a memory that you feel grateful for and connected to God in that moment. Okay, so there's two parts, an awareness of how you feel as you relive a memory or a moment that you're grateful for, and then an awareness of how you feel connected to God, where you feel connected to God in that memory. Now, this might be, you know, through something beautiful in creation you saw. It might be even through another person, right, that just you felt the love of God through. I don't know what that moment might be, but for some of you, maybe you're like, I haven't really had an experience like that. I would just say, ask God. Ask God to be present in a way where you actually feel his presence and experience his face shining on you. And then three, after we think about our personal lives, then we can move towards the three eyes. I'm kind of doing a little wordplay here because, you know, eyes on the face. The three eyes to shine your face on others. First thing, Small interactions. First I, small interactions. So this could be Sunday morning, this could be baptism event, this could be anytime you're with this community. I know it sounds simple, but eye-to-eye connection, right? Eye-to-eye connection, actually asking someone's name, and I know some of us are not good at remembering. That's okay, re-asking their name is fine, but showing interest in them, telling them, if you generally are, telling them how happy you are to see them. So small interactions. Second, intentional conversations. Now again, this might be with your small group, or on Sunday mornings here, but what would it look like to actually be intentional with the conversations that you have with the people in this community? And then third, invitations, and I would say specifically invitations to meals. So, you know, this could be your small group, this could be someone you're growing in friendship with. If you're super extroverted, maybe this is a stranger that you just invite. That's great too. I don't know. But here's the thing, when you have a meal with someone, like, I know you're eating, but you're kind of forced to look at them, right? So you have the you have that face-to-face connection. And then also, who doesn't like food? You know, food's great. So enjoying meals together, and actually we see that through scripture a lot, Jesus having meals with people, because I think it just opens up something in us when we have a meal together. So invitations to meals. So throughout this series, Luke talked about it last week, but we kind of have this, like, I don't know, contracts may be a strong word, but this like commitment that we want our church to be about, that we're going to add something new each week. So last week, Luke shared, this was the takeaway, I will help this community flourish by seeing others and allowing myself to be seen. And the commitment that I want us to sign off on today as a community is this: I will help this community flourish by living in the joy of God's face shining on me and shining that joy on others. Let me pray and then we can close. Father, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you that when we look at your gaze, God, that it's one of love and delight. I just pray today for anyone that maybe hasn't experienced that fully yet, that they would experience that, that they would know it in their head, God, but not only that, they would know it deep down to their core, that you love them, that you see them, and that you are so happy to be in relationship with them. And Father, as we grow in that, in our personal lives, I just pray that you would help us as a community flourish by shining our face on others in very practical and also just intentional and meaningful ways. God, that we would be a community, that we would just find joy being a part of the people in this room, God. We just thank you so much for who you are, Jesus. We thank you for your goodness. And we just pray that we would live this out on a regular basis. Help us to flourish, Lord. We pray all these things in your holy and precious name. I truly believe that we can do this, church. So, this week, be blessed and be filled with joy as you head off. Thank you.